backstage at the Wilbur Theater, standing next to Mr. Rashawn McCann.
Not McCann, that's a cookie. Khan.
Rashawn.
Yeah, Shaka Khan.
The reason why we're interviewing you is because you're one of the godfathers of comedy, been backstage and been dealing behind the scenes for years. So can you just drop some names of people you've been dealing with that my audience would love to know about? Now, Richard Pryor, you were there when the infamous accident happened to him. Now, Richard Pryor, you were there when the infamous accident happened. You were there when the infamous accident happened to him. Can you explain?
Yeah, we was looking at, Richard and I was looking at TV, the Vietnam War, and we watched a monk set himself on fire, and I said to Richard, this guy's committed to his cause, and in Richard fashion, he said, yeah, and he didn't even flinch. So I went to the kitchen in his home, and I seen a ball of fire running towards me, and it was Richard. He had set himself on fire.
Was he getting high at the time?
Yes, of course. The only way you can set your ass on fire, you have to be not in the right state of mind. So, yeah, there were moments where, you know, just the addiction, it was something that you didn't want to be a part of, but it had you. And that's what it was, you know. There was a weak moment. I wouldn't even go as far as to say suicide, but just, this is not right what I'm doing. And, he set himself on fire.
Anything else you could tell us about the great Richard Pryor that a lot of people out there don't know? That might end up in a book that you might just publish.
We're likely to have grown up thinking that the mainstream media was our friend, the common sense, natural judge of everything that matters and is important, and a reliable guide to existence. But we might also be realizing that isn't quite true. Let's take a moment to remind ourselves of some of the things that might be slightly or even very wrong with mainstream media.
All right, Paul Mooney has just canceled the show. Easy. He's taking some time off.
Whoa, why?
You know why.
Because of the allegations?
Now, there were these allegations against him that he allegedly, according to Richard Pryor's ex-security, molested Richard Pryor Jr.
If the allegations aren't true, this ain't the way to prove it by taking some days off. You got to stand front and center.
So he was supposed to be performing at the Atlanta Comedy Theater. Now they are offering full refunds if you were going to go to the show. And they also gave out free tickets for future shows. So that was yesterday. So there you have it.
Has Richard Pryor Jr. said anything else about this situation?
Not yet. He said he's not going to comment. So he spoke to TMZ. They caught up to him, and he just didn't really want to talk about it. He said anything that happened when he was a teen.
Yeah, and clearly something happened. I mean, you could tell by his reaction on.
He wasn't like, no, that's ridiculous.
Exactly. clearly something happened.
And I wanted to talk to you about the claims from Rashawn Khan that you and Paul Mooney had a sexual relationship back in the 80s.
Thank you.
Is there any truth to that? I know that Paul Mooney's denied it.
Well, whatever happened in my life, it happened when I was young, way before the 80s.
So was it a consensual relationship?
How could any relationship be consensual if I was a teenager?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it was a long time ago. And Paul Mooney's denied the claim, so do you have anything you want to say to him?
Well, I really have nothing to say at all about the situation.
Were you aware of the alleged hate that your father put out on Paul Mooney that Rashawn Khan claims?
No, I'm done.
Okay,
thank you.
I appreciate your time, Mr. Pryor.
Where was his and Paul's relationship at that time?
Well, from JoJo Dancer on, the relationship became fragile.
Okay.
Because Paul Mooney had Richard's son by that time.
Okay.
And he violated. And that's any man if you violate their children like that. Mm-hmm. So Paul took advantage of the situation. Mm-hmm. And so from there on, whatever Paul Mooney was to Richard, and there was a time that Paul Mooney was Richard's friend. You know, I acknowledge that, which is why the gay community really couldn't say anything they attempted to about Richard, because Paul Mooney was his friend. And they laughed. So when Paul did what he did, it was a violation of friendship first, and then my son, you know.
Right.
And in some circles, that's supposed to be dealt with.
So. Was there ever a conversation to retaliate against that?
Yes. Yes.
There's nothing wrong with having famous people in a society. The reason why celebrities become a dirty word is that we've got the wrong celebs in front of us. We need the media to anoint people with fame. But fame for doing noble and good things that really help a nation. We don't need to get rid of celebrities. We need better varieties. We like to think we've got a good media because it's free. Freedom is a wonderful privilege, no doubt, but on its own, it's nothing. We need a media that isn't just free, but also good, that is, able to direct a mass audience towards what truly counts, which is, as it's been since the days of Plato, justice, truth, and wisdom.
The Judge Joe Brown Show, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Uncensored truth with a legal twist. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Now, welcome your host, the celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones.
Judge Joe Brown Show. I am Valerie Denise Jones, 929-477-1167. I hope you're having a great day. What we're going to do at this point is we're going to open up Ron Hurd's mic, We All Be TV, because he had an opportunity to talk to Paul Mooney's first cousin. So my goal today is to get some very short and concise answers so we can deconstruct this thing in a short period of time and then allow everybody else to lend their opinion and knowledge of this situation, because I am just curious, at the end of the day, is this another attempt to bring another legend down, another black man down? I don't know. The timing is really suspicious, and the timeline does not add up. All right, so welcome. Ron, thank you so much for taking time out to hang out with me. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, Sister Valerie. It's been a long time coming, so I'm glad to be here.
Yes. So we got a lot of people who want to pour in. We heard the audio clip, so we know the backstory. Everybody's now abreast of what's going on. But you had a chance to talk to Rudy and get his story. And plus, it's live. It's on your webpage. Shout out to you on YouTube, We All Be TV. What did you get from that interview that hasn't been said?
Well, it comes down to the timeline. If this event really happened, when did it happen? And how old was Richard Jr. when this event took place, you know? Because he said, you know, the bodyguard, Rashawn Khan, said around the time when the Free Basin incident that Richard knew about this accusation. Then he said, you know, JoJo Dancer, right? JoJo Dancer came out May 2nd, 1986. The Free Basin incident happened June the 9th, 1980. Richard set himself on fire. I believe his son was born in 1961, right?
So mm-hmm, he was.
When did this happen? I mean, was he a grown person? Was he legally of age when this happened? And then why now? Because you got clips online on This Is 50, 50 Cent YouTube page, right? Jack Thriller interviewed Richard Pryor Jr. back in 2014. And he said that his father arranged for a 26-year-old woman to lose his virginity to when he was 13. Now, you know, in the TMZ clip when he was in New York, he talked about how, you know, when you are a teenager, you can't do consent. You don't have the legal authority to consent to any type of so-called sexual act. But he never mentioned Mooney. You know, the interviewer mentioned Mooney, but he never said Paul Mooney out of his mouth. But, you know, but he did talk about in 2014 that his father arranged for a 26-year-old woman to help him lose his virginity to. And now he's known as an openly gay black man, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when you were on doing your interview, Brother Rudy mentioned that the only way this made sense is if it had happened in the 70s. because 1980, which is pre-JoJo Dancer, he would have been 17, 18.
Right.
So that guy's timeline right there doesn't make sense. Also, he's saying a lot of nasty things about Paul Mooney as if it's like a personal vendetta. Just today, something came out where he was saying, why doesn't, you know, Paul go on and just come out of the closet? Everybody knows he's gay. And also, too, he said, I think yesterday it was reported that he said that Paul did not write for Richard Pryor. So it just, to me, it appears like it's just, it's more personal than professional. It's bigger than just, I'm trying to promote my book, because he isn't even concerned at this point with credibility. What are your thoughts?
I definitely agree with you a lot of your assessments on this. It's very personal because he was Richard's bodyguard, and he had interactions with Paul and Richard, so he was in their inner circle. So my thing is, why is it important that we know what Paul's sexuality is or his preference? Why is that important to this conversation? Is this about if he took advantage of Richard's son? What is this about his sexuality? You know, why is this a part of the conversation? And why is it a concern? And with the writing thing, it's very tricky. It's a tricky situation with writing, right? You know, there's a lot of creative geniuses that have helped, but a lot of times the people that help them are not credited with helping them. That, you know, look at the music business. A lot of songwriters that don't get a lot of credit for writing hit songs. Think about, you know, Elvis Presley. Some of his most famous songs was ghostwritten by a black dude named Otis Blackwell from Nashville. And he actually was interviewed by David Letterman. Otis Blackwell was, and he performed some of these songs that he wrote for Elvis, that Elvis made famous. You look at Duke Ellington. A lot of musicians in Duke Ellington band would be mad at Duke Ellington. As great as a composer he was, a lot of his ideas came from the band members, you know, but they never were credited a lot of times with providing Duke with the idea. It's like what Jay-Z said, you made it a hot line, I made it a hot song, right? Jay-Z take other people's lines and hooks and make them into hit songs. So Picasso said, good artists borrow, great artists steal. If you're not stealing, you ain't trying. So with that said, Richard Pryor did acknowledge working with Paul Mooney as a writer on different film and TV projects. Paul Mooney is credited as a writer for JoJo Dancer, the movie that is about Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor in his roast, back in the 70s, say, oh, well, you know, I work with Paul as a writer on the Red Fox show. And he's a writer, right? Dick Gregory told me, he said, Ron, the money is in the writing. It's not in telling jokes. It's not in the stand-up. It's in the writing. Whoever writes the jokes, that's where the power is. So it's being really disingenuous to try to discredit Paul because, yeah, Richard is the genius, but he might have use Paul as a sounding board, excuse me, for some of his ideas. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might have asked Paul how this sound, and Paul might have made a suggestion, and Richard might get the actual writing, but Paul could have been a person that provided a lot of good critique and analysis for Richard as a sounding board. So,
right. And Ron, I want to give you an update, and I always make sure that I have this soundbite on standby, this soundbite.
Allegedly.
Here. For legal reasons.
Yeah, allegedly, yeah.
Because I just received a message from my production team saying that Rudy has been advised by his attorney not to speak regarding this matter. The reason why I touch and agree as it relates to that, totally agree, is because, you know, again, people take social media lightly. They don't understand the power of viral. They don't understand the power of their words when they're live. And so they don't really understand how this can affect a person's livelihood, you know, their health as such, you know, as in this case. You know, it was reported that Paul Mooney had been hospitalized, also that he had canceled a lot of his shows and was taking time off.
Yeah.
You do not know, you know, how detrimental this thing is, and people are doing and treating this, you know, as if it's some kind of sport. And so I definitely, like I said, want to play this
allegedly
out, but we need to have a bigger conversation because we don't really know why we
Ron, my biggest problem is the reason why I call my company Big, B-I-G, Black is Green. Mm-hmm. We're for sale. Like, anybody could just buy us. Like, it doesn't – we will sell our soul to pretty much anybody, lowest bidder, not even the highest bidder. And it's really, really sad that we can be touched on the shoulder and advised to do X, Y, Z, and we will do it, you know, in order to destroy someone. It's always a – seek, kill, destroy kind of a agenda, and it's really, really sad that we do that. I see now that the judge's on the line. I don't ever like keeping – I don't like having him on hold. So I'm going to take a quick audio break and bring him in. But I want to ask you, Ron, is there anything you'd like to say before I take this quick break and open up his mic? And also I see Nate is on the line. I want to get his thoughts as well.
I'm excited. I'm a host. My prayers and thoughts go out to Paul Mooney and his family at this difficult time. And like Baba Dick would tell me all the time and tell other people, we got to pray at noon every day for the truth to come out about these things. So I'm hoping that the truth come out very soon and that people can discern it.
All right, guys, you heard it here. We'll be back.
Their relationship became fragile.
Okay.
Because Paul Mooney had f***ed Rich's son by that time.
But did it happen in 1980 after the freebasing incident, or did it happen in 1986 after JoJo Dancer? I'm confused. If it did in fact happen around the freebasing fire cocaine incident, then Richard Pryor Jr. was 17 at the time, turning 18 next month. Still wrong. Now, if it happened around the JoJo Dancer movie, he was 24. Still wrong as well, but I'm just trying to find out when this event happened and why was Richard still working with them if it did indeed happen. Okay, so y'all stay with me. The fire incident happened in 1980. 2 years later, in 1982, Paul Mooney helped to write the Live on the Sunset Strip show, and then again in 1986, he wrote for JoJo Dancer. Not even to mention the countless times Richard Pryor was seen with Paul Mooney after the incident. Now, I just scratched my head to some of these things and just wonder, because in all honesty, the timeline is a bit off. Well, not even a bit off. It's off by 6 years, but I'm just wondering, how in the world are you able to remain cool with someone or even work with someone after they've done that to your child? Because I'm going to tell you, touch anyone.
All right, guys, so that's it. Listening to the Judge Brown Show. I'm Valerie Denise Jones, 929-477-1167. Hanging out right now with Ron Hurd, We All Be TV. Please check him out on YouTube. This time I'd like to go on and open up the judge. This is Mike, 323-646. You're live. Welcome, welcome. The judge is in the house.
All right, judge is in the house. Hello, young brother.
The judge
Hurd
is in the house.
Hey, bro, Judge, how you doing? Yeah, Judge in the house.
This is a great young man you've got on, Valerie. He's going places. My take on this whole thing is, again, 2,000 years ago, Julius Caesar said, if you want to control the mob, that's ordinary people, just make sure they're well-fed and entertained. And we are talking about entertainments again. I'm going to bring that up every time we do this, but I know it's popular to get into it. But I just had three people I know in the last 2 days tell me that they had to attend funerals where somebody young in a family friend's household got taken out by stupid out in the neighborhood. So that we don't pay attention to, but we like this kind of stuff. Now, let's get into the other thing. Children learn by emulating what they see the adults around them do. It's already come out, allegedly, that Richard Pryor's wife validated the claim that Richard Pryor and Marlon Brando had been having sex with each other. You've got the same kind of situation, allegedly, with Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, and their children have been emulating what they've seen mom and dad do, allegedly. So it's no wonder. If you're going to get into this whole thing, which 90% of Hollywood and the entertainment industry are regularly practicing, and talk about it, it's kind of like the accusation that Paul Mooney has had sex at whatever age with Richard Pryor Jr., Richard Pryor's son, when you start getting into that homosexual thing, it's like, let's translate it so you understand it better. Let's supposing that Richard Pryor's 18-year-old son had had sex with a beautiful woman that worked with or was in Richard Pryor Sr.'s entourage. Now, nobody would be upset about that. I think I had sex the first time 13, 14 years old myself, but I got that on my own. I would have been glad if Dad had fixed me up with somebody that knew what they were doing. So it's a different thing between men and women when you start considering the ramifications. What is a horrible thing to happen to girls might not be so bad for guys. But this homosexual thing, they're taking it over. And this is what we are getting a lot of, are going to get a lot more of. When you start getting gay being popularized, you start dealing with the gay sex that goes on, used to be behind closed doors. Now it's coming out. They used to have a closed mouth about what they did. But if you talk about Hollywood, you go pick these stars, and if you pick 10 of them, and you just go pick 9 of them, you're pretty safe that you got most of them going to be gay. So this is what they do. This is what you're talking about. And look at Pose, that disgusting thing. Look at Empire, that disgusting thing. Look at the stupidity on the Housewives. This is what you get when you start getting into it. See, we got out of that. Well, not I. We, the ladies got out of that soap opera filth, that pornography that didn't deal with sexuality being displayed, just the outcomes. The judge shows kill those off, and I'm glad to have done it, but the thirst is still there, and just like nobody said anything when it was crack, and now all of a sudden they're talking about old boys, oh my God, when it's affecting mainstream, which I think is rank hypocrisy. This stuff is going mainstream, and it's affected mainstream, so now they're getting back into it again. Let's talk about all of these salacious things. You don't have Erica to go run home and see anymore, so let's see what you can get as a stand-in. They got, you know, I'm not there anymore, and a couple of other the judges that actually knew what they were doing instead of putting on a farce of a show. A lot of them that you saw as TV judges weren't even real judges. They just auditioned. So, you know, people crave reality in terms of how it deals with human nature. It's a fascinating thing. Some of us are exhibitionists. Some of us avoidants. So it's not surprising considering how far the country's drifted off into a tabloid mentality. And by that, I mean what used to be on the last page, the last section on the last column of a newspaper is now front page. So is it any surprising? We've destroyed the yin-yang balance in society, and we got so deep into emasculation and this stupid nonsense about so-called toxic masculinity that has nothing to do with it. Homophobia, when the real thing is it's heterophobia. Heterosexuals aren't scared of homosexuals. They might find it distasteful, but we're not scared of them. But homosexuals are running around worried about us killing them again, putting them on stakes and burning them, or locking them up and putting them in jail type stuff, or going down to Jamaica and them getting slaughtered on a regular basis down there. Well, they are afraid of what we do to them. So as Goebbels, the Nazi minister of propaganda, said a great propaganda technique is to accuse your opposition of doing what you're doing. They're trying to demonize us, but they are accusing us of trying to demonize them. It is not the same. But we fall for it, and we don't have control of the media anymore. We didn't want to go into journalism. We didn't want to go into this other stuff. It was the other side, the Skittles folk that wanted to jump into it. And they want to taste the rainbow. And when they taste the rainbow and now they're telling on each other, it gets interesting to some of us. I just sort of want to take a nap and say, not interested. you know, go tell me about an asteroid that is coming nearby. Go tell me about a star going nova. Go tell me about some scientific advance. If you want to get into sports, I'm tired of basketball, baseball, football. Let's talk about Lewis Hamilton, the first black man to race in Formula One, who is the best they've ever had, white, black, or whatever it may be in that sport. We don't talk about him. Highest paid athlete in the world. He's a player. He's got a red jet plane. Nice looking young man for what they say, but the sisters don't even know about him, and he makes more than LeBron and all the rest of the athletes in the world put together. But, I mean, nobody pays attention to these other things. They just get caught on stupid. So what else is new? We got stupid, stupid, stupid. And on top of that thing with the chicken sandwiches, for God's sake, I think these Nazis and white supremacists watching this are already planning how they're going to get rid of us. All they have to do is come up with another chicken run. And like you said, Valerie, poison, put some poisoning in for the seasoning, or like they did in, I'm going to get
Do something with the flour or the chicken.
So they put something in it. Put a slow-acting radioactive poison in the grease or something so people will die 4 or 5 weeks later. They won't need any damn gas chambers. Just have a chicken run, you know.
Right.
And then people were tweeting about it. It was delicious chicken. I didn't mind waiting in line for 2.5 hours. You damn fool. You don't have anything else better to do for 2 hours but to wait in line for some putrid grease that they fried shrimp, crawfish, all kinds of bottom feeders in. Hey, you stand in line that long. I drove by. Look, Ron, you and I are both from Memphis. I drove by Popeyes there. They had a line all the way around the block. And these fools were out in front scuffling to get in to get that heart attack special nonsense. We have no shame. And see, if people don't know history, if you understood what a cliched insult it was and how they used to buffoon us out about eating chicken, even though they did too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we fall for this cliche. It is a shame. And the company ain't even an American company. It's a Canadian company. And they're smart enough. They got a black woman. I'm glad she's getting the money. I ain't angry at her, but, you know, they put up the face of black to get the color to go in and get Popeyes. You know. We are so predictable. And I'm going to touch on this. What we're talking about today and some other things, I have walked through the hallways in the main offices of Paramount when they used to have a show before Viacom sent it to CBS, my show. And I'd eavesdrop. I'd come up on an open door and listen. And they got a formula for bringing black folk in to do one of these blaxploitation movies when they need the cash flow. Now, if Tyler Perry does one, if Spike Lee did one, John Siegel did one, did steal his money. But when they did one, they needed the cash flow, like for Black Panther. Disney was in a heck of a mess. There was a law suit that went down in 2011. The Supreme Court of the U.S. refused to hear it. They got stuck with a $680 million judgment against them that's now up $1.4 billion, and the people are levying and executing on Disney and ABC property. So they came up with blaxploitation super grade, and they had Black Panther, and they got in a lot of cash flow, and black folk bailed Disney and ABC out of the hot water temporarily, you see. But they have a formula. So they use that formula for all kinds of things, like getting the chicken run going. So I sure like that delicious Popeye's fried chicken sandwich.
And then get Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige to rock out.
Totally. Pathetic. We are so predictable. And we don't think, and we're bottom feeders in this society, and everything they do at the top drifts down to where we are, including all of the various and sundry forms of propaganda. Every little trick they've got to get us to go foolishly buy something drifts out. Now, see, white folky and genies, back in the 50s, FCC had to step in because they had these subliminal commercials. You'd watch a TV program and start craving a Coca-Cola, and you didn't know why. Well, FCC jumped in and said, you can't do this anymore. What was happening is they were flashing instantaneous images of people drinking Coca-Cola so quickly that it didn't register on your conscious brain, but it did on your subconscious. So people were craving the product that they were doing these subliminal commercials on that people didn't realize were coming on. They're doing the same thing now. You ought to take somebody that's a college professor a couple of 4 or 5 years ago invited, a little longer than that, invited me in to take a look at what's in some of these commercials, and he had sat down scientifically and isolated a lot of stuff. And they're doing the same thing, embedding in the commercials some stuff that is just absolutely sick. And we are sitting there craving the doggone. We don't read as a people, so we're stuck looking at the screen. We need to get outdoors and get some exercise. Right. And we're too fat anyway.
I guess they say they are outdoors. They're standing in line waiting on that good old Popeye's chicken. But
get in and get them some
grease. Yeah, so the lines are lit. I see a lot of people on the line. We will open up the mics here in just a few seconds. But just in case people would like to talk about the Popeye's incident or the recent Netflix episode of Dave Chappelle, which is excellent. I love how he
liked
social media and what was going on. Yeah, we can shift gears, guys, if you like. Right.
You see how the
yeah, they were. They said
bad
white folks. Bad white folks. You know, the only people who get the Dave Chappelle Netflix. I think that was one of the titles by one of the major blog hubs. So, yeah, that's that. But let's take a real quick, Judge, just 1 second so we could bring it. Open
sure.
up about two or three mics. I see 904-832 and 678. I'm getting ready to open up your mic to allow you to discuss. I see Nate and Dr. McCabe are on the line. I apologize that I don't know the other numbers by heart. But just because I am team Paul Mooney, Judge, and Ron, I wanted to play this because this is how Paul Mooney's publicist responded.
Now, Paul Mooney's publicist said that there is no validity to Rashawn Khan's statement as it relates to Paul Mooney. Now, TMZ met up with Richard Pryor Jr., who confirmed he was touched as a child, but he wouldn't confirm if it was Paul Mooney that did it.
Rashawn Khan, that you and Paul Mooney had a sexual relationship back in the 80s?
Thank you.
Is there any truth to that? I know that Paul Mooney's denied it.
Well, whatever happened in my life, it happened when I was young, way before the 80s.
Okay. So was it a consensual
relationship? How could any relationship be consensual if I was a teenager?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it was a long time ago. And Paul Mooney has denied the claim, so do you have anything you want to say to him?
Well, I really have nothing to say at all about the situation.
Were you aware of the alleged hit that your father put out on Paul Mooney?
No, I'm done.
Now, Paul Mooney's rep came back and said the timeline of events simply doesn't add up, especially since Richard Sr. and Paul were hanging out as late as 1999. Now, Paul Mooney was set to perform last night in Atlanta at the ATL Comedy Theater, where he was serving as an MC for the night in a long lineup of comedians, but the sign outside the building made it clear that he would not be there due to health reasons. Now, a rep for Mooney stated that the allegations made by Richard Pryor's bodyguard stressed him out and that he was going to lay low for a while and would be canceling all of his scheduled appearances until things simmered down. In my opinion, this thing just seems like a ball of confusion. I honestly just wish Richard Pryor Jr. would just come out and tell it like it is, because it seems like a lot of people have the stories mixed up along with the date.
Yeah, I agree, and that's the last audio clip that I am going to play, because I don't want to suggest anything except I wish Paul Mooney, you know, the best, because if this is affecting his health, this needs to stop. So
And I'm also, everybody knows, I love money. I'm allergic to broke. And when this affects your bag, it's a really, really big deal to me. And he's canceling shows because of these allegations. And it's really, really sad that someone would do this, you know, to another black man, another legend. And also someone who he worked with for years. Like, that's the saddest part. All right. So.
Let me say something briefly.
Yes, sir.
I scanned, you know, through the airwaves and listen to stuff. And I was listening to a program where they had some young gay males on there. And these males were talking about how they used to cruise at 12, 13, 14 years old, trying to have early homosexual relations or at least the pit. So I want to interject this in here. Now, I'm straight, but the first time I had sex was around 13 or 14 in junior high school with a girl that I knew. And these boys, I imagine, who are into that thing where they've convinced themselves they're gay, is not always a one-sided thing where some dirty old guy seduces some little young guy to turn him into a freak. It's a young freak looking for an old guy to show him how. So we have to keep that in mind. It's still wrong, and it's pedophilia when it's somebody who's full-grown dealing with somebody who is a young adolescent. Now, don't get me wrong, but sometimes maybe that's what's being said between the lines. You know, you got somebody allegedly that's a current freak. You know, yeah, he got touched when he was earlier, but apparently it didn't disgust him. He liked it, which is, you know, bad because it's still pedophilia. But you got to keep this in perspective. All right, that's a comment. That's all I had to say about that.
All right, I appreciate that. At this time, I'm going to open up actually four mics, and then we'll just talk for the next 30 minutes before we take a break. 904-520, your mic is live. Guys, please, 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 I can't stress this enough. If you got background noise, please mute yourself. Mute yourself so I won't have to. Also, when you don't mute yourself and you're talking and you know you got background noise, it will lower the audio quality, which means that other networks will not share our episode. So please be cognizant of that because we want to get this message out, of course. 904-520, also 832-969. Your mic is live. And 678-633. And the last one, because I hear noise already. Oh, I get so nervous. All right, so 925-871. Come in, introduce yourself. Let us know who you are, a little bit about you. Yeah, and then okay, this is somebody who's probably got a lot of bullets in his gun. So, Nate, come on. We're ready.
How you doing? It's Nate Campbell. I do have a lot of bullets in my gun, but I'm gonna be honest. I'm just gonna say, man. When I heard it, the first thing I said was, "Whoa!" I thought about something Paul Mooney said many years ago. He said, "Nobody, you know." He said they gonna come back. He said they're coming for all of us. He said, you know, they're coming for all of us. And he said that in one of his stand-ups some years back. And I was like, wow, this brother was almost prophetic in the way he said that. I never thought it would have been Richard Pryor's kid, you know, and it seems that these kids, you know, like Judge said, I'm not saying he did it, he didn't do it, because I wasn't there. But what I do know is this, that lifestyle is just, it's killing me that people are like, it's like almost like I'm flabbergasted because everybody's like, they are, you know, almost like up in arms that these children could ever have been molested by anybody when the lifestyle that their fathers and their mothers are living is conducive to some stranger or somebody who is known by the family being in position to do anything they want to these kids. These are some of the worst parents in America, and we love them because they're famous. You know, and for that reason, this is what you get. You're just getting – you know, if, I mean, if you heard that Will Smith's kids were molested, would you be astounded? Would you be? I'm just asking for a friend. You know, if Will Smith's kids,
but I guess because they're so vocal, and they're so, you know, pro. I am independent, and I should get a chance. I should have the freedom to decide which gender I want, you know, to showcase today. Because I remember when Will Smith's son said he wanted to cut his penis off, and because he, you know, he didn't want to be his gender to identify, you know, him. And it's like, wow, you know, that's crazy. So, well, shortly after that, he became the first male model to model for a female clothing line, and it was a high-end brand, made a lot of noise. So now, fast forward 2019, parents they will allow their children to choose their gender, you know. So if you want to be a little girl and you're a little boy and you're 4 years old, it's okay, and the teacher's not allowed to call you that. They gotta call you whatever you pick. So this is getting worse. But yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I'm just basically saying
okay.
that I'm really not astounded that this is something that's in the news. This isn't shocking me, is what I'm basically saying.
Correct. Gotcha. Yeah. All right, guys. We got the other lines open. They're not limited to the Paul Mooney thing. Judge Brown did bring up the Popeye's chicken incident or situation. I don't know what you want to call it.
Ashamed.
You're welcome to talk
right
on that
now.
As well. But your mic's live, guys. Just introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Monique Turner. How's everyone doing today?
Hello.
Hi, Monique. How Hello. Are you?
Good. How are you? So I wanted to touch on the Popeye's because I think that the Popeye situation is so huge. And, you know, it's just really amazing to me on how many people continue to share that on social media, how we will give all these other people, these corporations, a lot of publicity, and we will support their business, but we won't support small businesses, black-owned businesses. We won't go buy chicken from them, but we'll go buy it from these high-class organizations and people that we don't even know, you know. But you'll share those things, but you won't even share your family got a business going, but you won't share that. You won't support that. You know, I just think that social media and just everything, it's just a trend. People are so quick to follow what's going on instead of lead. And that's the problem with us. You know, everybody wants to follow everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so Nick, I always want to ask this question. Do you think that people are cognizant of the fact that they're supporting a business or are they just excited to talk about something that's viral, like just be part of something? You know what I mean? Like everybody's talking about
right.
chicken or patty pies at the time, but they don't really care that they're supporting Patty LaBelle or, you know, the chicken place because – you know, they were doing the comparison, chicken versus Chick-fil-A. Do you think that they even care that they're supporting Popeyes at this point? Or
no.
Is it about the hype?
I don't. I think it's about the hype, and I think that that's what's problem. That's what, you know, what's wrong with us in America is it's more about the hype and what's going viral. So if you see that somebody else is getting 200 likes on it and you normally only get 5, then you want to just join the trend to try to see how can you now go viral? How can I get people to talk about me or share my post? You know, and not even really noticing that, okay, now we have made, I think they said it was like 23 million that Popeye has made now just off of advertising.
Oh, no, that they saved in advertising dollars. No, they made way more than that. It was 23 million. They calculated they saved 23 million in advertising.
And right. Okay. Yeah, that's what it was. They saved that in advertising because of everybody else advertising it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. And you know, another thing I just wanted to talk about is I haven't really followed the story too much. I just heard you guys talking about it a little bit, but about molestation and stuff. And so I just wanted to say that I'm in a same-sex marriage. I've been in a same-sex marriage for 10 years, but I was also abused and molested when I was a young girl, and I didn't know that until I became an adult, until I started actually counseling. I run a nonprofit organization helping youth, And I didn't realize that until after so many times of speaking with my students and them telling me about their stories. And then it triggered something in me and allowed me to realize that when I was a little girl sitting on my uncle's lap driving in the car, that that was a part of that, of me being being physically abused, you know, and being touched in ways that I shouldn't have been. That really, to me, allowed me to have a lot of ways that I wouldn't have been, like a fast little girl and all these different things that nobody knew about me and I didn't even understand about myself until I got older. So I do know that sometimes, even though it happens to us young, it may, you know, trauma, when trauma comes, a lot of times we block it out, but, and we do whatever we can to not allow that to be our reality. And then you get so used to being, you know, wearing that mask, allowing another part of your life to be your reality, to where you tune that out and it can come back to you as an adult, to where you really realize that. And now it's at the forefront. And then everybody's like, why now? Well, maybe now it just got revealed back in their mind.
Gotcha. Now, this question is for you, Michelle, but I also want to address Dr. Makeba based on something Judge Brown said. So I guess what I'm saying is anybody can jump in. But Dr. Makeba, I want to ask you, whenever I don't know the lifestyle of, you know, gay people. I know gay people. I don't have a lot of gay friends or something like that, like a lot of people say, and I don't even toss that around. I don't even take it lightly. You know, I respect everybody. But one thing that I hear when we do shows like this, it seems like people are molested. And I'm just wondering, Judd said something that was very specific, and he was like, a lot of times we mimic our parents. I understand it when we see that in the household. Like he said, she's married, you know, so it would make sense. But what happens when you're molested? Does it make you like, you know, same sex? Can you kind of break that down for those of us who, because I don't want to say the wrong thing and be insensitive, Michelle. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just curious.
Well, thank you for asking me the question. Again, I'm Dr. Makeba. So what you're asking is what happens when someone's molested as far as the mental and psychological and the time that they may or may not bring it out? Is that the question?
Well, a lot when we talk to a lot of same sex, when you ask them specific questions, 9 times out of 10, I will say 7 out of 10, they've been molested or, you know, raped or something traumatic happened in their lives. And then, okay, now I don't know, because I don't know if you're born gay. I don't know if I don't really know how to complete the sentence, because I just see love. But if I was raped by a man, would I then like same sex more because I was molested? Like, I'm just trying to figure out how do we protect our children but also allow them the opportunity to find love the way that they find love. Because if my child said that they wanted to be gay, I'm not going to be like, oh, you can't be gay. You know what I mean? Like, but if they had been molested and they were running from opposite sex because that opposite sex touched them. And so hurt people, and that became, then that's another conversation.
So I'm going to give my opinion first as a mother, as a woman who has naturally conceived 3 sons, has raised 8 children, also as a holistic doctor who has studied biology, anatomy, and anthropology of our people and the peoples of the world. And I do agree, it has been found that the vast majority, and I would say at least up until about 15 or 20 years ago, people who chose a homosexual lifestyle were indeed molested as children, definitely with males. The vast majority of them up till about 20 years ago, I can't speak to the statistics of the last generation, but definitely up till about 20 years ago, the vast majority of people who proved or chose a homosexual lifestyle and they were males had been homosexually molested as a child. So the studies do tend to lean that way. I also agree, just as a mother and have observing cultures around the world, that this still seems to be the case. And like I pointed out on a different radio show, but now we have something different that's taking place. We have it being promoted on every single level. And that is what I personally have a problem with. I actually agree with Judge Joe Brown when he mentioned that it's actually heterosexuality that's an attack. So, and I do feel like that's the case, and that's not fair to human beings, as the only way to procreate is the sperm and the egg, that is male and female, and that's not fair to the planet as a whole, because that's a whole nother agenda trying to come about. And I do think that that ties into this conversation. Overall, I also want to quickly address, and I want to tie it all in, from my point of view and my experience, and thank you for asking me, when the young man, I did not know that Jaden Smith had made that comment. I do remember a few years ago when he was modeling for the high-end brand. I didn't know that he had made the comment that he would like to cut off his penis. Now, let me use that as an example. Jaden was born with a penis. So nature, God, whatever you want to call it, already dictated that he is a male. So that is the biggest issue that I have. What's coming under attack is nature itself, life itself that has been in existence on this planet for not just thousands, but for millions of years. That's what's at threat, because nature decided when you were born that a penis was attached to you. There was sperm, and there's a certain anatomical function that goes along with that, that decided that this is what was for you. And I'm trying to say this is in the most scientific term possible. So to say I would like to cut off my penis so I don't have a gender, that is not changing your gender. That is mutilating what you are. And there is no ifs, ands, and buts about that. So what I would like to bring this all around to is what we seem to be dealing with is a serious attack on humanity, nature, every plant, insect, microbe, and planet itself. And to say that there is not distinguishing factors in nature, be it feminine behavior or male behavior, is an absolute falsehood. That is not true. And one thing that I would like to say is that I tell people one thing's for sure when it comes to health, because my concern is to help humanity get to 120 years, is that the same thing it took the sun to rise last year, 4,000 years ago, 40 million years ago, is the same thing that causes it to rise today. The same thing it took a tree to grow and grass to grow is the same thing. Certain elements in nature do not change. And I feel that when it comes to protecting our children, we have to be very cognizant that these type of extreme illusions of reality, because that is what they are. They're extreme illusions if they're not what it is. Because last I checked, when I had that male natural childbirth, he had a penis attached to him and he had a ball sack attached to him that was decided. And I saw him as he came out of my womb and they were laying there with umbilical cord, and that was a male child. So if that in its essence is being attacked, all of humanity is being attacked, all of the earth is being attacked. And that's what we need to protect our children from and make sure that they are allowed the freedom. I'm saying just the opposite, that they are allowed the freedom if they are born male anatomically or female anatomically to at least be that. That is what we are in threat of, is them being filled with vaccinations, chemicals, and all these other things to change the actual gender that has already been decided upon their birth. So that is a big problem. I know that Winston Churchill said something. Winston Churchill said that the empire of the mind is what's going to rule the future. And he said, I think that back in the 40s, He was one of the greatest prime ministers, and he was right, because what we're dealing with is a great majority, I would say past 90% of people that don't even attempt to think for themselves. And in order to think for yourself, you have to come out all of this propaganda. So I think that's why the Chick-fil-A's and the Kentucky Fried Chicken's, yes. But what I'm saying is, at what point do we stop it? Be it, to me, I don't know much about the Paul Mooney situation, but it seems irrelevant until facts are put, and we're not even going to talk about the huge, not even double, but quadruple standard against black men. But at this point, if we don't seriously begin to take these conversations, to take the attention off of the serious illusions that are threatening our humanity, we are going to lose more than our children. We might just lose everything. So that's a long answer, but that's what I feel about it.
Yeah,
thank you,
and
doctor.
I'm about to talk.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, doctor. May I ask the doctor something here?
Yes, sure, Judge. When you're done, I want to address Monique.
I have a question to ask. I've always postulated that one of the worst components of this emasculation scheme is in fact what you postulate, but there is a more insidious and deeper negative about this homosexual thing that they're pushing so hard. It's self-hate. As black people self-hated for a long time in this country, and then we came up with I'm black and I'm proud as compensation until we became proud of what we are. These people seem to be so deeply ashamed of what they were born as that they are in the process of attempting to legitimate that self-hate so it's okay to change, but it is infusing into the rest of society so that the social norm is becoming one of self-hate. And that, I think, is bad, and you touched on it. What brought the sun up 40 million years ago is the same now. I've always said these people are trying to take all of humanity, all of culture, all of the physiological evolution that has occurred since 3.8 billion years ago, and they want to change it in 40 years to something else. It just doesn't work that way because we are the same animal we've always been, and it doesn't work that way. But what do you think about that self-hate thing?
Yes, sir. I absolutely agree. And again, I'll go back to Jaden Smith because I have wondered why no one has addressed this issue. I'm very alarmed at these actors and actresses, particularly the trend seems to be getting a black male baby and dressing him like a female. That is at the highest abuse level. But humanity as a whole, I agree, is being attacked, and it's that they hate being humans. So what I am challenging is, if you want to say that this is a choice, and of course a person needs to be of age to have a sexual choice if they're dealing with an adult, but if you want to say this is a choice, you can say that, but it does not. You cannot say that someone born a male or a female or a tree or a dandelion plant or a lion or a tiger is not that, because now we've not only gone into self-hate, we've gone into hate of the creation, hate of the air, hate of the water, hate of everything that is. So what are we really saying? And that is the bigger plan that seems to be really pushed, really, really pushed in such a short period of time, as you were saying, Mr. Judge Joe Brown. So it is serious self-hate.
Dr.
And
McCabe,
that is a
that's a cardinal sin on this show.
By the way, this thing.
Wait,
about,
Judge. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe that. I have to say something, interject real quick. I know this is a very important matter. But yeah, I jokingly stated that when people say Mr. Judge Joe Brown, you crucify them. You missed that opportunity. I apologize.
We're talking about.
I digress. Let me stop. I was just trying to make light of the moment.
No. A lot of that just in terms of. I hate this thing where somebody 17 years old calls you by your first name and you are way grown and you got kids their age and you go, "What? You don't know me." You know, it's like this thing where everybody is supposed to be equal and nobody excels. But back to this thing you're talking about, doctor, I think one of the main components I've heard said subliminally and out in the open dealing with what you just posited was they hate the idea that there's some things they can't control. They keep saying, well, we are human, we can think, so we can do whatever we want. No, you can't fly. No, you can't breathe water. No, you can't breathe vacuum. You need a spacesuit. You need an airplane or a helicopter, or you need some scuba equipment or a rebreather if you're going down there. You can't just do that. So they put it like, okay, I want to be this, so I resent the fact that Mother Nature has created something called the nature of the beast, you know? And one of the most dangerous things I always posit is this: we are the most dangerous predator that planet Earth has come up with. If they had T-Rexes running amok, we'd soon put them on the endangered species list because we kill better than they do. So we tend to forget that, and that is one of the things that these people in their efforts to promote homophobia instead of heterophobia want to get around, is people kill real well, and what they do diffuses everything that humanity has come up with as a culture to keep the apex predator under control. And that is one of the most dangerous things, and I posit that a lot of what goes on in the hood and in these school hallways and elsewhere where these folk go freaking kill everybody for no reason has got to do with the suppression of those things that humanity has come up with as a culture to keep the best killer in the planet's history under control. If that makes
right.
sense.
Gotcha.
Can I ask
hold on
to the judge? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, real,
I just want to briefly add, well, it's being put out now that they're trying to, laws are trying to be passed that pedophilia is okay, and I think it's an offspring with the stuff that's come out over the last, well, I mean, it's always come out in my opinion, but hard over the last decade with the Catholic Church. And so it's such a double standard. But again, I agree with Judge Joe Brown. What's really at stake is humanity and nature itself, and it's the extreme self-hate. So I was commenting on that.
An example of something that we failed to pick up on, and I know it's unpopular, is the late Michael Jackson. They popularized him. He was dead until Spielberg did that video Thriller. The song was kind of a flop at first, and then when a year and a half later after it flopped, they did the video, and then it went big because it was a minor movie. But what they pushed Michael Jackson on was, A, he lost his nose trying to look white. He mutilated himself by putting Polynesian hair inside his scalp so he'd look like he looked. He destroyed his melanin cells. He hated himself, and he was androgynous, and that was a precursor to this drive for all of this tranny stuff you see right now and this rhetoric about fluid gender. Michael Jackson put it in people's subconscious. So when you get on an elevator, you hear a Michael Jackson song. When you're in the restaurant, you hear a Michael Jackson song. When you're driving down the street, you hear it on the radio. And subliminally, you get this freak who was also into pedophilia, who is deep into self-mutilation. And that's on people's minds. So subconsciously, they are more accepting of this nonsense about fluid gender and boys, if they are failures as athletes, can declare they're girls and go take victory because they want to be, they claim to be a girl. See, that's part of this whole propaganda thing that I heard on UCLA's campus back in the 60s when I was a student there about how they were going to take over the country and make it with no standards, no rules, and anything goes, and get rid of all of this stuff that they call nature and say humans think, so we have to get away from our animal side. We can be anything we want to be, which we can't. But there it is.
All right. Thank you, Judge, for that. I want to publicly state that, you know, to Monique, I was not trying to offend. I just wanted to see if we needed to have a bigger conversation regarding pedophilia and molestation, not so much same sex, because that, again, I don't have an opinion because I'm not familiar with the lifestyle. So I wasn't trying to offend you. I just want to say that publicly. Monique, real quick, do you have anything you'd like to say? Because I'm going to touch back with 678 and then see if anybody whose mic is open has anything to say before we shift gears.
I definitely agree with the doctor and the judge, and thank you for that. But no, I wasn't offended. I am in a same-sex marriage, but I don't agree with any of the things that have taken our nature and allowing people to just change their body parts and none of that. I agree with the judge totally, and I agree with the doctor totally. It's definitely getting out of hand. I believe that it's ruining our kids. I work with kids every day, all day, and it's just ruining them, to making them feel like that they can just do and be anything, and they don't even have a clue. And I agree with also the TV and these TV shows and these big programs that want to just keep putting all this same sex on the TVs for these kids to see. It's just unacceptable. I definitely think it's unacceptable. I mean, like I said, I'm in a same-sex marriage. Me and my wife have never, our kids, I have three boys, one I gave birth to, one she gave birth to, but they've never even seen us kiss each other because that's not something for kids to see. So I agree.
All right, I appreciate that. 678-633, 678-633, your mic is live. Please introduce yourself.
Okay, thank you. This is Dr. McCabe again. I'm Dr. McCabe Mooring, a holistic doctor. Thank you so much.
Oh, wait, are you on both sides?
No, I'm actually just on one end.
Oh, okay, hold on, Dr. McCabe. One second, I apologize. Okay, 832 no then, 969. 832-969.
This is Officer Whitaker. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. With the
Popeyes, I kind of threw you into a conversation that has since shifted.
I had to work to do. That's
it's okay.
The thing with the Popeyes chicken, don't get mad at that. There are a lot of black Popeyes chicken owners, franchise owners, and my family is one as well. And, you know, you get marketing tools that you can't discuss, and the sandwich was what was called the quick box lunch that you could make 68% profit off of. So, hey, don't get mad about it. The thing with homosexuality now, here in Chicago, we have a big, big, big population of young gay males that aren't identifying themselves as males, they're identifying themselves as women. And they started to do a study on it because the age group is from 18 to 30. And the majority of them come from single-parent homes raised by their mother, and they were molested by their mother's boyfriend who was in jail or a female friend of the mother as well. Now, this is the first thing that they've held this in for years and never told nobody. And the first thing when the state cut the budget here, they cut was mental health. And that was the largest part of what fails in the black community. We have a lot of problems going on that aren't addressed. And that's my view on it.
Okay, Judge, the reason why I asked Officer Whitaker back in the panel, I'll just go around here in just a second, but I didn't want it to seem like an awkward transition. But, Judge, the reason why I asked him is the first hour we were supposed to, we were scheduled to talk about Paul Mooney, right? And I wanted to ask Officer Whitaker and also get your input regarding the hit that allegedly was put out. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute, because it made sense when Paul Mooney's family member said that doesn't even make sense because that's illegal. And if someone had found that out, then that would have been detrimental to his brand. He could have been sued, could have gone to jail, yada, yada, yada. So being that he put that out, and he put that out, you know, as this is what transpired, I'm not a killer, but I could find someone. And he admitted that, like, live on air, that that was something he was willing to do. And if it was
suggested or found out, you know, I was just wondering, you know, what are the laws, what repercussions could he possibly suffer? I mean, it's like, it's almost in a sense slandering himself. So I wanted to get the
legally, here's what you're listening to, stupid. Bottom line is talking something like that is not per se illegal. There has to be some action taken. If you are actually contemplating that, you are one of the biggest damn fools under the sun if you were to talk about it. As a pragmatic matter, let's see, as a lawyer, defense lawyer, I tried, defended 42 first-degree murder cases where the state demanded the death penalty. That doesn't include the ones where they didn't. God knows how many I tried as a criminal court judge in Memphis, Tennessee, which is one of the country's murder capitals. But I'll say this. Homicide is a very easy crime to get away with if you don't know the victim, if there's no connection with the victim, and you keep your mouth shut. But to come out and say you're going to take a hit out, that is just the buffoonery that goes along with this mess we've been propagandized with that glorifies this dysfunction. You're trying to go for bad and, I guess, give yourself some street cred. But that doesn't strike me as a real proposition. Somebody's just flossed, I guess the way the kids would put it. That is just so stupid.
So, Judge, my question becomes, what if someone came forward and said that they were propositioned? This guy, Khan, couldn't he just, incriminate him?
In American law, you can't convict anybody on the uncorroborated evidence of an accomplice.
Okay.
So there has to be something more. Because you could have just said, to back it up, oh, yeah, we were doing that, but we were coming up with a screenplay or a new proposal for a TV series. You know, you can always come back on that. So what did you do wrong? You're the script writer, since we were talking about writers for a homicide series or one of these cops and robbers shows you see so many of, or a movie. Goodness sakes, you're contemplating talking about a homicide, but it's fiction. You write a book where you put this in there, you're doing the same thing. So there's got to be a little bit more.
Okay. All right. Officer Whitaker, did you want to say anything before I go around the board and get everybody's final thoughts regarding the first hour?
It's freedom of speech. You could be arrested. People could be arrested for what they said or thought. The jails would be, we wouldn't have enough space for people. So even if somebody came and said, Paul Mooney said he was going to have me hit Richard Pryor's son, then you got to have that person, wire that person up to go back and talk to Paul Mooney to confirm it, then do it. But you can't go by what that person said.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the clarity. So, Ron Hurd, you've been sitting back quietly. Is there anything you'd like to say before we wrap the first hour?
I think it's very fascinating because people forget, you know, these are allegations. Richard Senior is no longer with us, so you can't prove or disprove he said these things. There's no recording of him saying anything. We're going on the word of Rashawn Khan, who was once his inner circle, who might have had, you know, a grudge or something against Richard and even Paul Mooney. But I can remember, like, several years ago where Michael Jordan's sister, one of his sisters, said that their father raped her when she was young, and the mom knew about it. And you could Google all this stuff up online. And even when Michael Jackson's sister LaToya accused their father of doing something to her when they were young, and allegedly, and she took it back. And I just hope that people really still do believe in due process and giving folks the benefit of the doubt. I'm tired of this social media lynch mob mentality that we have, where everybody's guilty, guilty, guilty just because somebody said so. But in the words of Warren Buffett, it takes 20 years to build a reputation, only 5 seconds to destroy it. And these days, it's probably only 1 second, so.
Thank you. Thank you for that. All right. Dr. McCabe.
Thank you again. And I just want to ask one thing, because I'm learning more about the Paul Mooney situation. And there's such a double, triple standard when it comes to black men, and I do believe it is a deliberate plot to destroy and massacre each one. But I just want to ask this question because I know a couple of years ago when it came out that Charlie Sheen had HIV or AIDS, I still know that show runs, that reruns of his show runs. There was never a public outcry or massacre, not even close to what was done to Bill Cosby. And this is not to justify me to say that I think that Bill Cosby is innocent or guilty, but I do know that the show had an extremely positive influence on generations. So I really believe, I just want to add that this is the time that we actually take the power back. And this is just not to black people. This is all to all people because this is serious. The whole earth, the whole planet, everybody in their mind. So the way that you get mind control, the way that those movies that we've seen for years where the robots are controlling everything and technology is controlling, is that you get all of society so deaf, dumb, and blind, and to become so robotic and predictable in their behavior that, boom, you can do anything after that. And it appears as if we're just at that point. So I just want to say I appreciate these conversations because even if it just enlightens one or two to take a serious, different path, because I really feel that it's humanity that threat, and the black man is definitely, it's amazing that we still even have one or two standing. So in reference to Paul Mooney, give him a frail trial. I wish that he had not canceled that here in Atlanta, because if it's not valid, don't even give it enough energy where it can be such an unfair trial. So, and thank you again for having me.
Judge, would you like to say anything to that?
Just one thing. It's a generic statement. The net is interesting. It opens up access to much information and knowledge and wisdom, but it is also a vehicle for glorifying dysfunction and spreading and legitimating stupidity. It is an excellent tool to spread gossip. And as I saw on a Twitter site, some airbrush China doll type with a blue check says, I had some blue jello and it quivered, and I saw, 62 or 82 point something K likes on that. Like, what the hell is wrong with us that would even be something somebody would read and like? You know, how stupid. But that's the way we're going.
All right. All right. 818-613 Philo the Great, your mic is live. Welcome.
Hey, so how's everyone doing? I've been listening. I heard the doctor mention that she wished Paul Mooney hadn't canceled the show there in Atlanta. But Ron Hurd mentioned that we have a social media lynch mob as well. So with that social media lynch mob and people just going in on exactly what they hear, it can be detrimental to somebody's health, such as Paul Mooney, who said these allegations has caused him to be hospitalized. So he had to cancel things because of the news that's going around about him allegedly sleeping with Richard Pryor's son. So we as black people, man, can't just instantly jump on each other like we do. All this stuff runs together, from the Popeye's sandwich to these allegations. All of it is us spreading it, the majority of it without facts. So I appreciate shows like this to where words like allegedly are being used, and everybody is pretty much saying give them due process and pretty much focus on the real matter at hand. And the real matter at hand is that they're trying to demasculinize America. Masculinity is a problem now because of the movement that they have, and the real men, we need to step up, man, and do what we can do to try to salvage what's going on. So I have nothing against no one, but allow people to have their choice and don't try to just force it on nobody and make it like if you are straight, you're alien nowadays. And that's how it's supposed to be from the creation, is male and female. So that's just what I believe, man. And, you know, due process. I do appreciate this show. No one just really crucified nobody. But, man, be careful what you say, man, because all these rumors and allegations and all this stuff can really hurt somebody. This man is checked into a hospital, and I guess he's about 70 years old. It probably could have killed him when he heard that, because according to research, him and Richard Pryor were friends. They wrote and everything. So if it didn't happen, just imagine how this man must feel to hear something like that. So I just wanted to put that out there, man. And thank the panel. Valerie, thank you. Judge Joe Brown, thank you, because it's been a great show, you know.
Thank you, young man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
One
we
thing
got,
I
want
suggest,
to.
One thing sure, I might suggest sure. is very briefly. People, we are getting too delicate. One thing, you may not like it, but I think it's a good thing Trump is showing by his conduct, is every now and then you got to tell somebody to go to hell. I don't give a damn. So what? You don't like it? Drop dead. Instead of replying to somebody's aunt, someone should apologize. It made somebody hurt. Sometimes people need to be talked about. And I agree with Milo. It's the guy's shaking up. It's bad. But, you know, at least it's this kind of thing rather than a saber tooth or a large bear trying to eat you up out there. Or the winter's trying to kill you off, or the summer's trying to cook you off. So, I mean, as humans, we have never been without adversity as long as we've been on this planet. Nowadays, the adversity doesn't have much to do with whether we'll get fed. We've got general safety from somebody making a meal out of us. It's our feelings, and that can be dealt with. What is the old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, sometimes they do, but you need to learn how to cope. The world is a harsh place.
Amen. All right, all right. I just want to be fair. Two more comments, and then we're going to have some fun with this Dave Chappelle Netflix special. We're going to deconstruct that. These last 20 minutes that we got on the show, barely 20 minutes, I think, more like 15. But Monique, I'm going to touch back to you, give you a quick second, and then also like to include Maurice as much as possible when he has time, now that he's on the line. So 925-871, what are your final words regarding this first hour?
Valerie, first I just want to say thank you to you, thank you to the judge, Judge Joe Brown, and thank you to the doctor. The show was great. Thank you to everybody that we listened to today. And this is my first time being on and first time listening. So I really, really appreciate the platform and look forward to every Friday moving forward. So I just pray everybody have a blessed weekend.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. And, yeah, definitely do that because we're preparing for a holiday. So happy Labor Day to you guys. And also happy early birthday to me. Woohoo! Yes,
happy
all
birthday.
Right. So there we go. Yeah, I'm excited. God, yes. All right. So 407-407-308. Real quick, because we're about to shift gears. Maurice, you're live.
What's going on, family? How y'all doing? What's up, Judge?
Hey. Hey, hey, hey.
How are you, young man? All right. For what I've been taking forth about this whole situation with Mooney, I gotta say, regardless, I'm still a fan of his work. Some of the great body of work that he's done, from you know the Richard Pryor Show to Sanford and Son to Living Color and so many other great deals of work that he's done. When I first heard it, you know, I was kind of really thrown aback, but at the same time, it was like you know. I was still kind of like befuddled because we've all known the, you know, the word around town that he might have been, you know, a fan bisexual or gay on the side. So on one end, it was just like, damn, but then it really threw me off. Like, yo, man, you really just fucking do this, huh? So, you know, as a man, you're just like, okay, man, come on, bro, for real. You don't look at him the same no more. But then when I started listening to the dude, the Richard's bodyguard, other different interviews, and he was just like delving towards like Paul never wrote for Richard Pryor. and then more importantly, he was never really all that funny. And then the next one, next interview, Paul, he should just go ahead and come out as a homosexual. So then it would just dawn upon me. I'm like, okay, bro, you most of this, your whole state of the interview is all about Paul Mooney. So now my street sense is like, you got a real hard on for this dude. No pun intended. You know what I'm saying? Let alone he got a book coming out in a couple of weeks. So I guess it was just, you know, in his intention just to go out there and throw this out, because my common sense automatically kicked in and just be like, bro, why it took you this goddamn long to come out and say this? And we as the people, we got to, you know, quit going towards the hype machine of it, of, okay, this is supposed to be some shocking news. I'm like, yo, the common sense should kick in, like, bro, if this happened in the early 80s, why it took you so long to come out and say it? First, like Judge was saying, like, why Paul Mooney didn't go to jail if it was going on like that? You know, if Rich about to, you know, put a hit out on him, come on, man. It's like a lot of this stuff is not adding up. Now, granted, I don't, you know, the word, you know, a lot of people have been saying that Mooney had tried other people, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know nothing about that Hollywood culture, but now at the same time, so most of the stuff that's coming out about Hollywood, I just can't look at it and say, because so many different child stars have said that they've been molested, you know, by other older people. Kind of like with Ty Bridges saying his agent tried him and made him suck his penis. And then, you know, you already know about Corey Feldman, and he was talking about the pedophilia ring out there is big time. So, you know, you can't put that past it. But at the same time, I'm not about to put a past just of a dude just having a hard on for another dude just to throw, you know, personal business out there just so he could pump his name and pump his book up. So that's why I'm so skeptical about it. And as far as the gay agenda, I honestly do, like I said, I'm not homophobic in any way, shape, or form, but then at the same time, I still had to look at it like, yo, man, y'all really trying to pump it up, because they starting to pump that up in kids shows now. Like, I was watching certain animated shows where and the crazy part about it, they doing it on our ticket. They got this strong black alpha superhero, and they made him gay on this show called Young Justice. And that threw me off. Like, what are you trying to pump? Are you really afraid of strong black alpha male? So it's really kind of like, I'm just looking at it like, what are y'all trying to do here? But y'all already know what the business is. Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, definitely that. And one day I definitely want to have a show that's like a call to action. What do we need to do? Like, what can we do?
We're always interested in what you have to say about our live broadcasts. Please share your comments on our Facebook page or websites.